Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, the proclamation of John the Baptist. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with the water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today's reading comes from the book of Proverbs. If I may digress for a moment from my prepared message, I mean it when I say to you, you guys, sometimes you're bad. Don't be jerks. You're supposed to be good. I'm in my office every day and somebody comes in and they're like, "Hey, whoops." I'm like, "Don't! Dan, what is your deal?" If anybody doesn't know, Dan is the worst. I took a vow to not say who was the worst, but it's Dan. You guys are making me look bad in front of God. What's that? Oh, look, it's Jesus. And he said, "Stop it!" The word of the Lord.
Well, you don't know what to expect after that, do you? It was a little unexpected with how the sermons normally start and what happens after the scripture reading. And that is kind of the way our reading is today. It is unexpected. Last week we talked about the beginning of Advent and we looked at the beginning of Matthew and we read a genealogy of all the descendants of Jesus and how Jesus was born. And in the Gospel of Luke, which is where we spend a lot of time during Christmas, we read about the birth of Jesus. That is the gospel in which we read about all the angels and no room in the end and all those type of things, kind of the traditional start of in the birth of Jesus. So that's the beginning of Luke. But this is what you just heard was the Gospel of Mark. And the Gospel of Mark skips over the birth of Jesus. It does not tell the story of Jesus being born into the world. Instead, it begins by talking about John the Baptist. When John the Baptist is older and beginning his ministry of preparing the way for Jesus. So in the Gospel of Mark, we don't hear about Jesus until he is an adult. And so today we're reading at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, in which John is sharing the message. He's saying, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So very different than the angels and the nativity scene. Mark begins the story of Jesus with a call of repentance by John the Baptizer. John's message was a rough message. So that is why that was kind of, that in a way is a modern day version of John the Baptist. I'm glad I only have to do that every couple of years or so. No, I don't think I've ever jumped up and down. And I'm thankful to you for that. Once again, in the beginning of Advent, it's not always, we don't start each time with the baby Jesus. We work our way up to that. But in the second Sunday of Advent, we focus on this preparation that comes by repentance. Now, repentance means confessing our shortcomings and committing ourselves to turn from those things. And so John was telling the people that Jesus was coming, the Savior, the Messiah was the word that the Hebrew people used for Savior, said that the Messiah was coming, talking about Jesus, and that they needed to prepare for his coming by getting their hearts right, by confessing their need for a Savior, by acknowledging that they fell short and that they needed someone to help them. They needed someone to help them and that they needed God's forgiveness and God's grace. So John the Baptist went out to the Jordan River and he was baptizing people, and baptism was a sign of their repentance and their turning back to God. The image of baptism in a river is like lowering the person down. In the early church, they called that, when people were lowered into the water, they called it a water grave. So baptism was like a water grave. You were lowered down and then you were raised up to live a new life with God. So that is what John was doing in order to prepare the people for the coming of Jesus, the coming of a Savior. In the Gospel of John, we read a little bit more of John's message to the people about repentance. One of the things that he said, which expresses some of the anger that we saw in the video, but even more so, John the Baptist called out to the people as they were coming to be baptized. He said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that was coming? You brood of vipers," he was essentially saying, "you low down dirty snakes." Throughout Scripture, Jesus even uses extreme language to help people to understand. And John was using this to help the people to understand that they truly had strayed and they truly needed help. You know, it's very easy in this life to get to the point where we feel like we don't need to repent because we're pretty good. But if we really examine ourselves and our attitudes and our motives, and we compare them to the kind of love that we see in Christ, we will see that we do indeed fall way short time and time again. And so John was calling the people to recognize this, to wake them up. And perhaps that's the greatest danger for us in our faith, is that we can go into a mode where we're kind of sleeping through life, where we get comfortable and we think we're good enough. But if we get to that point, then we are not realizing that we still need grace. We still need forgiveness. We still need a Savior. So once again, as we think about Advent, this 40-day period leading up to Christmas, it is a time of preparation. And part of that preparation is confession of need, an acknowledgement of things that we do. Maybe they seem little in our eyes, ways that we are unloving towards others or unforgiving towards others. And acknowledge those, and perhaps we've gotten comfortable and used to those things. They're small things. It's not like murder or anything bad like that. We just have this anger, and sometimes we let it out in ways. But that's okay, right? God is calling us to a different kind of love and a different kind of life, in which we truly forgive one another as God has forgiven us, in which we love our neighbor as ourselves. Once again, when we look at the life of Jesus and the example that he has called us to as his followers, when we take that seriously, we have to acknowledge that we do fall short and we need God's help. So John uses the phrase brood of vipers, and he also says that the axe is at the root of the tree. And he says that every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down. So, of course, if you were to cut down a tree and you really wanted to get it all the way out, you would dig around the tree, expose the roots, and then you would go to the root. That is the best way to fully remove a tree. And this is the image that John the Baptist used. And he was using this once again, like the brood of vipers language. He was trying to wake up the people of Israel. He was trying to wake them up because at that time they had seen themselves. God had called them to be God's special people for that time. So they called themselves and saw themselves as the chosen people. And so they thought they had it made. And John was saying, no, you've still got to work at this. You are still falling short. A Messiah, a Savior is coming. But if you don't recognize that you need a Messiah because you think we're the chosen people, we're good enough, then you're going to miss the gift. So he uses that image and he says that the axe is prepared. It's time to make a decision. It's time to turn. And then he invited people to baptism, and people came. People were flocking from Jerusalem. They were responding. Something in John's message hit them in the heart, and they began to ask, what must we do? What do we need to do? You've convinced us that we are falling short. What do we need to do? John the Baptist, in this jarring message that seems different than all the warmth and light of Christmas, but is an important message, is that we fall short. We need to confess that, and we need to turn from the things that God shows us are part of that falling short. To the extent possible, we are to repent, which means to turn from one way of living to another. And then John said that we are to bear fruit worthy of repentance. To bear fruit worthy of repentance. Once again, that's that tree image. He's talking about trees, and these trees he's talking about, perhaps he's talking about the fig tree, which is so common over in Israel. If you go and visit Israel, you'll see lots of fig trees, you'll see lots of olive trees. But those trees are meant to bear fruit. And John is saying that human beings are meant to bear fruit in our lives. And so John says that what we should do in repenting is to begin to bear fruit worthy of repentance. To do those generous acts in helping our neighbor. Generous acts in forgiving that person that hurt us, who perhaps doesn't deserve forgiveness, but in our hearts, we may forgive them anyway. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. This is a high calling, and it's not an easy thing to do. Christmas is about God with us. And God promises to be with us in the good and in the bad of life. And God has promised to work within us, to help us to become followers of Christ and to follow His example. All of this that we're talking about, this new life, it's not something that we do by ourselves. It's something that we open our hearts and lives to and allow God to work within us, help us to grow, help us to bear fruit. So we need God for this. As followers of Christ, we're taught that one of the gifts that we are given is the Holy Spirit of God, that God's presence is with us, even within us. And the Holy Spirit of God can work within us and help us to grow. The fancy word that we use in the Christian faith for that is sanctification, that God's Spirit works within us and helps us to grow more and more Christ-like. So we can't do this alone. We also need a community. I know I've learned almost all that I know about the Christian life from the people that I worshiped with. Beginning when I was a child, I learned about God, I learned about Christ, I learned about the Christian life by the people that I was worshiping with. And so it is today. We need a community to be a part of that process of sanctification. By the examples we see, people like June Wood and so many others. I shared on Friday at the funeral, of course, one of the most striking things about June to me was how she made it to church every single time she possibly could. And you would see June in the hall the last 6 weeks, and it was amazing that she could make it from that end of the church to this end of the church. And it just seemed, I thought about how hard it is for me to get up some Sunday mornings and how I want to stay in bed. But she never did that. She never did that. The community helps us through the examples we see. We practice love and forgiveness and generosity. All these things shape us. We are getting to that point in this process that we'll start to hear about the angels. We'll hear about the angel announcing to Mary that she's going to have this special place in God's plan, that he's going to work within her life and she's going to have this special baby. We'll hear about the shepherds and the angels and all those things. But for today, we hear John the Baptist. It may not entirely be a welcome message. We might want to skip ahead to all that good, sweet stuff. But for today, I encourage you to listen to John for the moment. Think about what he is calling us to when he says, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight." That is a quote that John is using. He's quoting from Isaiah. Make way the path of the Lord. Make his path straight. He's quoting and he is talking about a holy arrival of a king. And at that time when a king came, they would clear the path and at times they would level out the rough places. In the same way, through repentance, through preparation, we are to make clear a path for the king who is coming, who is to be born in Bethlehem and who can be born and live in our hearts. Make the path straight for the Lord this season. Thanks be to God. Amen.